indeed you are great, and we sing loud hosannas this morning. We sing about your greatness. We sing about your consistency, how over thousands of years, 66 different books written down by 40 different authors can tell a consistent story all the way through time, and that's because there's one author. It's you. It's your story. We praise you for being the God of salvation, the God of the past, eternity past, of our present, the God of our eternity future that holds our forever in his hands. We yield to your lordship. We thank you for the sacrifice of your only begotten Son. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here as our mentor, our Messiah, our master, our brother, and our friend. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would drive home to our hearts the words of our pastor as he speaks this morning, and we thank you for the privilege of assembling here in your name. That's Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, children, you can go. Junior church. This morning, I want to just throw out a question. How many of you remember when? How many of you here remember when there were 3-cent stamps? Okay, you just dated yourself. But how many of you remember when gas was under 25 cents? Again. How many of you remember the computer? When it started. You remember? Atari, you programmed it, and then you played Pong. Okay? How many of you don't ever remember that? Okay. There's some of you. It's fun when you play the remember game, things that you remember. How many of you remember S&H green stamps? Yeah, okay. And where did you take those S&H green stamps? To the Redemption Center. I remember as a kid, my mom would get them and I would be pasting books and, you know, she would have bundles of 20 books, you know, and so forth, and she would get things that she wanted to get. This morning, we're going to talk about remembering. You see, the theme, and Marty mentioned it, the theme of all Scripture is around one concept, and that is the concept of redemption. If you look in the dictionary, redemption is defined as to buy back or to recover. Hence, the S&H green stamps were redeemed at a redemption center. They would come back, and you would get stamps for buying so much product or food or gas or whatever it was. You could redeem them, buy back certain things and items. But we have to remember that at the beginning, Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. Now, just to think about that, what else was created in the image of God? Nothing. Adam and Eve created in the image of God. Just think about that for a moment. The image of God. Just think about the worth that gives you and me. Think about the value that God had in us, that he created. And in fact, when he created the animals and the other things, he said, "It is good." But when he created Adam and Eve, he said, what? It is very good. And so just to think about Adam and Eve and the beginning, created in the image of God. But Adam and Eve were given a choice. And that choice was this, that they could eat from any of the trees in the garden except one tree. And that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Doesn't sound like a hard thing to adhere to. One tree that they did not have to eat from. And yet, because God wanted to give man the opportunity to be obedient to him, gave him that one choice. And we know the story where Satan came and deceived Eve. And we can't blame Eve because Adam probably was standing right beside her and didn't say anything. But because of their sin, there was disruption. Because of their sin, there was a broken relationship with each other. Kind of interesting where Adam and Eve are going back and forth blaming each other for their yielding to sin. And so they were ashamed. Before that, they were naked and not ashamed. But when sin entered, they were ashamed. And so Adam covered them with fig leaves. And God looked upon it and said, that's not good enough. And so he covered them with the skins of animals. And you think about it, what had to happen to that animal? It had to be killed. Blood had to be shed so that Adam and Eve could be covered, that they wouldn't be naked and ashamed. And because of that, we see this thread of redemption starting through all of Scripture. I think of Abraham and Isaac. Remember that story? God promised Abraham that his descendants would be numerous as the sand of the sea. And this was a time when Abraham had no children. And for 25 years after that promise was made to Abraham, still did not have any children. And we know the story that Sarah was well up in her years, too old to bear children. And when she was told about this, she laughed because she thought it was hilarious. And yet, what happened? She became pregnant with Isaac. Now, you would have thought that would be a great occasion, and it was. But then what did God ask Abraham to do? Abraham was asked of God, well, I want you to take your son Isaac and go up into the mountain and sacrifice him. Now, if you were Abraham, if I was Abraham, I would be going, God, what are you doing? This doesn't make sense. And yet, Abraham was obedient. And Isaac was obedient because Isaac had to know what was happening. And they went up on the mountain, and Abraham was to the point of laying Isaac out on the altar, and the firewood was there, and Abraham had the knife ready to sacrifice his son. And at that point, God said, stop. Turn around. Behind you is a ram that I want you to sacrifice to take the place of your son Isaac. Again, a sign of redemption that is through Scripture. Then we go to the Israelites being in Egypt. And they were there and put under great bondage. And they were crying to be free. And God raised up Moses, and Moses was the one that was going to be the leader. And, of course, we know the story of Moses. Moses was very timid, and he says, how can I be the leader? I can't even talk. And God said, well, I'll give you your brother-in-law, Aaron, and Aaron will intercede for you. And so then the plagues came upon Egypt, and each plague built on the other. And finally, the last plague was this, that at a certain night, the death angel was going to pass over all of Egypt, and every firstborn child and every firstborn animal was going to be killed. So what did God do? God said, tell my people that if they take a sheep, unblemished, and they kill it and put the blood around on the door frame. When the death angel comes, I will pass over. You see, God gave the opportunity. God took the opportunity, I said, and to supply a redeemer, the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. And we come to the New Testament, and the New Testament establishes a relationship between this prototype of Passover Lamb with the consummate Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. So this theme of redemption is carried through. What did John the Baptist say, the forerunner of Christ? What did he say when he saw Jesus coming? John 1:29. He said what? Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist knew the purpose of Jesus' coming was to die for our sin, was to pay the price, was to be an atonement, was to be the redeemer, to buy back man who had wandered away from God and who had sinned and broken God's laws. And so that brings us to the Passover meal that Jesus had with his disciples. You see, Jesus knew exactly what the Father had ahead of him. In fact, let's turn to Matthew, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 26. We're going to read a couple verses. Jesus had brought his disciples here to celebrate the Passover feast. But Jesus knew that this would be the last time that he would celebrate this with his disciples before his death, before his act of paying redemption, being the redeemer for you and for me. And chapter 26, let's look at verses 26. We'll start there. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. Jesus was talking about something that was going to happen soon. His body wasn't broken yet. His blood wasn't shed yet, but it was happening soon. And it's interesting that when they had sung a hymn, probably what they sang was something from Psalms 113 to 118, a group of psalms that was there for praise. And in fact, at the end of the service, we're going to sing a chorus that was written after Psalms 118:24. Which says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." What day is it? It's the coming day of God's sacrifice that all of Israel was looking forward to. And they were rejoicing because Jesus was the Passover lamb. You think about that. It just amazes me that even people today, the Jewish people today, can't see it. They are blinded. They cannot see the fact that Jesus Christ is the Passover lamb. But Jesus is laying here the foundation for that. If we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul shares with us some thoughts here on the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 11, and we start with verse 23. And Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So there's a past aspect of this. In the remembrance, we proclaim the Lord's death. That's what happened in the past. Until he comes, that's what's going to happen in the future. It's a promise that he made that he would return. And so here, Paul is adding to this. Now, when Paul's writing this, this is after the fact. And that's why he can say, "Do this in remembrance of me." Some memories we like to remember, some we don't. And someone said, we like to talk about the good old days. And the reason why they're so good is because we forgot all the bad things. And we just think of the good things. And so so we remember, I don't know if we say we remember the good old days, but we remember the time when Jesus became the Passover lamb and died for sins so that we might be redeemed. We might have life in him. So when we talk about the Lord's Supper, we're not just talking about a common meal, but it's a solemn ordinance of God. God said, this is sacred. This is solemn. I want you to remember. I don't want you to forget. And you might say, well, you know, every time we do the Lord's table, yeah, we remember. And yeah. And we kind of put it aside and don't think much about it. But it was important because it's the whole basis of our redemption. If Jesus wouldn't have died on the cross and paid that debt, we wouldn't have hope. We wouldn't have remission of sin. He only had to die once because he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the sacrifice that God had, God's only begotten Son, the Lamb, the sacrifice. And so when we think about the bread, we're talking about his body, which was bruised and broken for you and for me. If any of you have seen the movie, The Passion, you get kind of a glimpse of what Jesus went through. But I think what makes it more confounding is the fact that Jesus went through all of that, but didn't have to. He could have called down the angels to save him. He could have not taken the cup that God had for him. He didn't have to do it, but he did it willingly. He did it because of his love for you and for me. He did it because that was God's plan, the plan of redemption. And then the cup is the new covenant. You see, in the Old Testament, there was the law. And the Ten Commandments were God's moral laws. Well, how many of you have kept the Ten Commandments? We can't. It's impossible. And so in the Old Testament, when they broke a commandment or sinned, they came and they offered animals or grain or perfume offering to atone for those sins. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died once and for all for the forgiveness of all sin. There's no more sacrifice that has to be made. He was the perfect sacrifice. And so the shedding of his blood, the cup, is the replacement of the old covenant with a new covenant, and that is grace. Someone said grace is God giving, man receiving. And when we think about grace, there's nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. There's nothing I can do to make God love me any less. He just totally loves me. That's what we're talking about. That's what we're celebrating this morning. That's what we're doing in remembrance this morning. As we think of an admonition that Paul also gave in 11, and we start with verse 27, Paul says this, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep." Now, the falling asleep isn't like dozing off here in the morning service. The falling asleep is a kind word for that's why many are dead, have died. William MacDonald, in his commentary, wrote this. He said, "As we come to the Lord's Supper, we should do so in a judged condition. Sin should be confessed and forsaken. Restitution should be made. Apology should be offered to those who have offended. In general, we should make sure that we are in a proper state of soul." And that's, I share that with you this morning. Now, I'm not saying where you have to go through, did I kick the dog this morning, or did I? It's not nitpicking. It's that if the Spirit of God has revealed to you there's an area of your life that is unconfessed or undealt with, deal with that first. Deal with that first. So this morning we're going to observe the Lord's table during the sermon. We're not going to put it on afterwards because I still have some things to share. But I'm going to ask the men to come forward now, and Dave to come, and we're going to administer the elements. Here at Grace Fellowship Church, you don't have to be a member to take communion.